But part of the apprenticeship is riding ships with pilots. So you start that right away. You start as a lowest member of the crew of the pilot boat, which is a big boat in our case. It's 184 feet long, and it stays out at the entrance of the harbor all the time, around the clock. One of the two big boats is there. So you start out as a deckhand doing all the menial work that nobody else wants to do, and you move up in this little hierarchy. But when you're going back and forth to work, you go on a ship with a pilot, and you have to have your jacket and tie on and so on and look neat and presentable, and you watch him do it, and he will, depending on how far you are in your apprenticeship, he might let you have the ship, and he's certainly going to stand right behind you and watch you. And this is how you watch him interact with the captain and the other crew. So it's very much hands-on. Look out the window. There's the buoy. This is it. So by the time you get to do it by yourself, you've been on probably hundreds of ships. The last part of your apprenticeship, all you do is ride ships for 9 months. And you have to ride 250 ships in that nine-month period with pilots all over the harbor. Which you've studied for, you've drawn these charts for the Coast Guard, your tests for memory. So by the time you get to do it, you've been on hundreds of ships, and you know what it is.
And did, was every single crew that you were working with amenable to instruction, and or did you ever have any challenges there?
Occasionally there might be a language barrier, but very rare. Fortunately, English is the language of the sea and of the air, by the way. You can't fly a plane unless you speak English of any country, any airline. You know, Air France, they speak English when they're landing in Charles de Gaulle Airport. All the communications is in English. So all of the language of the sea, fortunately, is English. So almost all of these captains and the mates would speak English, very good English in many cases, occasionally not so good, but certainly enough to be understood. And the helmsman would understand port and starboard, midship, steady, and those commands I had to give. So the language thing wasn't a problem. And they're used to pilots everywhere they go. A pilot comes on board. Mm-hmm. The local guy, for whether it's Sydney or New York or La Havre or San Francisco, the pilot comes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they get your name and give you a cup of coffee and shake hands with the captain, and we have this exchange of information, and off we go.
Yeah, it almost becomes like this call and response ritual in terms of even the tones of voice that are used in
communication. Yeah, an order is an order. I'm not suggesting to the helmsman that he turn starboard 10 degrees. I'm telling him that's, yes, it's, you know, I chit-chat with the captain about this stuff, but to the helmsman, those are orders, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just does what he's told. He's steering the ship, but he's not really in charge of it. The pilot does that. Mm-hmm. With the captain's approval, of course.
Yeah.